And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Glad y'all are with us. Welcome to day three of the dawning of the golden age of America. By the way, I am loving the fact I know some people are like, well, that's kind of trite. Why was that necessary? Screw that. I love the fact that it's the Gulf of America now.
I know. It's anybody who's saying it's not awesome is just lying.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Like, Mexico's not happy.
No. And I saw literally like the same day that Trump said that in his inauguration speech on a like severe weather warning that Florida put out, they put the Gulf of America right away.
So. Yes. It's perfect. And Alabama needs to go ahead and recognize it. And let's talk about our Gulf of America offshore oil interests and stuff like that.
Well, the Orange Beach mayor posted a picture.
Yeah, he did.
Calling it the Gulf of America. That was pretty awesome.
And I reposted that and said this became the MAGA vacation spot of the year.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Orange Beach, Tony Kennan. I think I've had him on the show in the past. I need to call and get him back on. But yeah, Orange Beach is now sitting on the Gulf of America. By golly. Great. I like it.
And also, Mount McKinley is back.
Mount McKinley is no longer Mount Denali. It's Mount McKinley, named after President William McKinley, which it had been for goodness knows how long. For liberal renaming reasons, which makes me wonder, we get Pete Hegseth in, how long is it going to take before they talk about renaming Fort Bragg, Fort Benning, anybody else?
So I was actually thinking about that, if Trump would do an executive order doing that, but then I thought it would probably be better that's something Hegseth does in the SecDef.
Except I think I don't know for a fact, that may require congressional approval because it was congressional action that had put the naming commission in place. So if they were... If they overstep their reach, then it can be rescinded. If they were given constitutional authority for certain things and then they overstepped that, then it can be undone. But if they were acting within congressional authority, then that's going to have to be undone by congressional action. At the very least, I mean...
It'll happen one way or another.
At the very least, stop calling it Fort Liberty.
Yeah.
That just feels like somebody's like they had a third grade contest to see who could pick up the best name for a post, and that's what won. Anyway, text lines, like I said, TL from Huntsville text back says, welcome back, Phil. What an inspiring long weekend. In the words of William Shakespeare, the golden age is before us, not behind us. And also, here's another quote. He says, this is an exciting time. I believe we stand at the age of a new age, a golden age of freedom that will rival any of our great eras of world history because it will be the entire world itself that is changing. Joe Lieberman, how about that? Sincere thank you to Scott Buttram for guest hosting, he said. Thank you, man. That was awesome. And then John from Harvest says, welcome back. He says, was Monday great or what? There are so many good things happening now, it's hard to keep up. Quick observation, he said, I think Trump's second term would be better now than if he had served consecutive terms. And I think the big reason is that Trump narrowly escaped death and essentially spent the last 4 years in the wilderness being tested. God works in mysterious ways. John, you were so on point, man. I think I said something similar to that either when I called in Monday or maybe it was, I forget when it was, maybe last Friday. But I did. I said the same thing, that I feel like the fact that this four-year sojourn he had in between gave him a greater opportunity for developing resolve and coming up with his plan. And I think he walked in the door far more prepared than if he had just stayed in and had to keep fighting the same battles over and over again.
Well, he also had 4 years to gain momentum so that when he got into office, he was hitting the ground running.
And 4 years to get back to a point where he had the House and the Senate to work with. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I agree with this completely. John from Harvest, great, great text. Let me refresh my texture, which apparently now is required refreshing constantly. Spectacular monologue, says John from Huntsville. Thank you, John. He says, definitely one of your best. Also, what'd you think about Carrie Underwood's amazing unplanned a cappella performance of America the Beautiful? And she even got everybody to sing it with her. Yeah, that was a moment. There was this kind of like this sense that nothing was going wrong until all of a sudden the music would start. He had a little glitch of music that started and stopped. And I thought Carrie Underwood did a great job.
I liked it better a cappella like that.
I think it came across, more meaningful. And I hope she didn't walk off feeling like, That was tough. I had the bad moment in the whole thing because I think she nailed it.
Yeah. Kamala didn't sing, though, so she didn't get everybody
Did she not?
No.
Whatever. Kamala was too busy trying to get over things.
Yeah.
Kamala's too busy being Kamala. JT Lacey Springs says, welcome back. I know the next 4 years you will have better things to speak about versus the past four. Consider on or about the 20th of each month to do a Trump month, 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, et cetera report. It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Well, let's jump on into what's happening so far. How about I give my day three report? Is this day three or is this day two and a half? What are we on?
It's technically day three. We're past the time he was inaugurated.
Okay.
So day three.
I like it. All right. So I'm going to say some things some of y'all already know, but I'm going to put my flavor on it just so you, I can. So first of all, the executive orders, he promised them and they have been flying. And some of them have got liberal heads exploding. Like you can hear that loud noise in the background. What is that noise? That's liberal heads exploding. So he took office. Story here on Fox. This is a big one. This is a great article, by the way. It covers a lot of things. But he said he would sign a series of historic executive orders, complete restoration of America, he said, and the revolution of common sense. Well, that's where we are. What's interesting is the Trump rally that afternoon, and I love that he did this. He is making this an absolute grassroots retail politics event. Everything about it. It's like Trump was making sure that he was letting the people be engaged in the process. So whereas he couldn't be with them for the inaugural out there on the and y'all, I know there's been all kinds of talk about, well, it didn't snow. It was bitter cold. I mean, it was painful cold. Charlene and I were out walking in it, and it took a while for us to get to the place where we could meet the congressional staff to even get us through security into the building to watch everything on the watch party. And it was painful. It was so cold. That being said, Trump took every opportunity to be among people. And when he signed those executive orders, a ton of them he signed at the Capitol One. Like, they had a table set up at the Capitol One arena. He's signing executive orders in front of like 20,000 people. But then he went one step further. If you saw this, JP, then he started taking the pins and throwing them to the crowd. Did you see that?
I did. Yeah, that's pretty. That's pretty cool.
Get one of those, man. Put that thing in the shadow box.
That's got to be framed. Whoever has those.
So we have executive orders right now to immediately resume border wall construction, to immediately end birthright citizenship for children of illegal migrants. Which, by the way, that one's going to be challenged. Just go ahead and brace yourselves if you're not. I mean, he can say we're not doing this anymore. That one, because there's a constitutional discussion on it, I think the Constitution never intended for this.
14 states have already filed suit, so.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to get contested.
Oh, yeah, it's going to go all the way up. And you know what? We may find out we can't undo it. The court, because, you know, John Roberts is still on the court, we may not get what we want, but we can pursue it, and we should. He also said he's going to declare an emergency at the southern border. He's going to send millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came. He's going to reinstitute the Remain in Mexico policy. He's ending the practice of catch and release, and he's sending U.S. troops to the southern border, all in one executive order or one signing of executive orders. And I love this. How many times have we talked about this on the show? He designated the drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. You know what that means, right? I mean, that gives him authorities he never would have had.
Yep, you know, I don't know if he'll mobilize any troops to go after them, but now that they're designated as terrorists, it opens up a bunch of possibilities.
You ever seen the movie? Now you and I are going off on a tangent. Well, I'm the one going off the tangent. You're joining me.
Yeah.
You ever seen the movie Act of Valor?
Yes. Yeah.
Which the acting's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
The action is amazing because they use real Navy SEALs in the movie. But if you remember, that movie was about a SEAL team going south of the border into Mexico to stop terrorists from using drug cartel tunnels. Remember that?
Yes, yeah.
And I'm not going to be a bit surprised.
No, I mean, it's not going to be easy because the cartels are so massive and, you know, they're also embedded in the Mexico government. But, I mean, you know, designating them as terrorists just opens up a lot of possibilities to actually take them on. I mean, I remember somebody, I think Shapiro talked about on his trip to the border that there would be drones flying over, and he would ask the border patrol, he'd say, is that ours? He'd go, nope, that's the cartels.
Yeah.
So we can't shoot them down. We have to call and get Homeland Security's permission to shoot any of them down because we don't want to upset the cartels. And it's like that's just, I'm glad that that cowardice is over.
Yeah, I'm gonna get into some of that here later on. But you're right; there are certain things that have already happened that you look at and go, "That was not hard."
Yeah, exactly.
That was not hard to issue that order. That was just not painful. And look what's already happening. But I'm gonna say this: I think that you get one SF team down into Mexico to lay on a cartel drug lab. Locate it, get good, solid, on-the-spot intel, lays that target and bring a Tomahawk cruise missile right down the center of it and blow it up, and then just wait and watch what happens. Because I guarantee you the cartels will go, oh, crap.
Yeah, they would.
And all of a sudden they'll begin to lose their local popularity because they're no longer the local Robin Hood heroes. They get blown up. And the other piece is the Mexican government is embedded with corruption, like you were saying. Some of that is actual corruption, like avarice, like somebody wants something. They're greedy. But the other part of it is coercion. There are people in there who have been threatened that you know, the judges will kill your family, and they'll do it, man. These people are ruthless. And so I'm going to bet that what'll wind up happening is we put a JDAM in the middle of one of those drug labs. And there will be people suddenly gaining a backbone because they know that America will have their back.
Yeah. I mean, yes, like you said, just being strong and, you know, peace through strength. Once they realize the United States isn't messing around anymore, I think they'll realize, you know, they'll shapen up real quick.
Yep. The other thing he went into was the energy sector. Drill, baby, drill is one of his, he naming a national energy emergency, he said. He's also, I love this. I'm so tired of this stuff, and I'm so glad he's dealing with it. He's defending women from the gender ideology and extremism and restoring biological truth to the federal government. That's the quote from the executive action. Restoring biological truth to the federal government. He's basically telling every aspect of the U.S. government, stop pretending there's more than one gender. The United States will only recognize male and female biological from birth. And that happened immediately. And then all of a sudden, today, and this is huge, and I love this. I've been saying, how long on the show have I been saying? The last 3 years, I've been saying DEI needs the DIE. It's time to get rid of the diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense. The idea that we embed the constant discussion in the race baiting of racial and gender issues, and just become what he called a colorblind society. Well, the only way you can do that is to get rid of some of the wokeness. And so the first thing he did, he ordered, and it started today. Today, all federal government DEI offices were to close, and all of their personnel were to be sent home on paid leave until it's determined whether they can either remain employed or not. So let's do this. I got to take a break. Tell my caller that we're taking a break because we're on that time. And then as soon as we get back from the break, I will take that call. But yeah, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, it has begun, y'all. It has begun. And when I get back and I start telling you some of these things in more detail, and then, oh, by the way, did you hear about the Coast Guard? Holy crap. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're right back, and text messages are flowing in like crazy. You guys are really in it today. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Same number. Text it or call it. So let me go to the phones real quick because line one, he held on during the break. Chris from Madison. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm good. I have a legal question or a legal request for you to make a statement on the whole birthright citizenship. If we said that the fruit of the poisonous tree, just like cops can't use evidence that they got illegally, that the children born to illegal immigrants are the fruit of the poisonous tree, so they can't get birthright citizenship, but if the immigrants here on a legal status, I agree, i.e. a green card, something like that, then they could. That would kind of get rid of some of the issues that people are having with the statement. Not that I, because I'm here about let's do it legally. And so I was just thinking that's an argument, and I was wondering what your thoughts are.
Yep, appreciate it, man. I'll go ahead and let you go, and I'll talk about it on the air so you can hear it. But thank you, Chris. I appreciate the call.
Okay.
So Chris makes a great point. Now, what he just mentioned, though, is congressional action, and I think that's what's going to take. But then you have to consider the fact that what we're looking at here is arguably a constitutional issue. So if it's constitutional, does it require an amendment to the Constitution, which is not only congressional action, but then ratification of the states? So it's high hurdles. I think what's going to have to happen, Chris, to answer your question, first of all, is we have to know where we stand right now. And the only way to truly do that is to get the matter before the Supreme Court of the United States and have them either verify or invalidate the idea of illegal immigration, birthright citizenship. And then there's going to be trickle-down effects. Let's say that the, because the Supremes, here's the thing, Supreme Court does not take up issues unilaterally. They don't reach out and grab stuff they like and bring it to them. They can only take up what is appealed to them. So I don't know that we've ever had an appeal of this issue, meaning it would be what's called a case of first impression. The Supremes see a case of first impression. They could very well interpret the constitutionality of the argument that you can be a citizen being born here by illegal immigrants, and we may have our answer at that point. Because if there's no citizenship, then bam, we're where we want to be, and then new congressional action may be vested to offer, you know, citizenship or not in other cases. Okay, I'm kind of waffling, not waffling, but I'm kind of rambling around a little bit. Here's the problem. One of the things they're going to have to watch for is what are the second and third order effects. If they invalidate, and by the way, I believe they should, if they invalidate the notion of any constitutional provision granting illegal citizens, babies, citizenship merely by being here, then what does that do to all the ones who thought they already had it? So then you're going to have a question of amnesty for those who were already granted and been operating. You're going to have people that were born here to illegal aliens 20 years ago who have been operating with a birth certificate and a passport and a status under the law for 20 years. Do we go back and invalidate that? And so there's going to be issues that have to be addressed, but that's not the Supreme's job. The Supreme's job is to interpret the Constitution. If this matter, which I think it will, if this matter gets up to the Supreme Court and they have a case of first impression before them and they agree to take it up, we first have to know where we stand right now. Then we can unwind all the rest later. Anyway, Chris, great question. Thank you for that. And I'm not sure if I answered all of your stuff, but that's kind of where we are right now. And then I see what you're saying about the fruit of the poisonous tree. That's a criminal that's a means of looking at whether or not the evidence that is before the court was obtained illegally. I don't know that I would use that term, you know, in this particular case, obviously, but I get what your point is. And so I think we got a ways to go. First thing happened, somebody had to do something. Trump did something. Trump signed an executive order, said, yeah, I'm doing away with that. Now the lawsuits start. And within a year, I predict that if these lawsuits go forward, that we will see appellate action in the event that the courts rule one way or the other. There you go. Oh, man, a lot more to come. We're watching history getting made every day, y'all. History's getting made. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I got a whole lot more. Y'all stay tuned. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on Hump Day. And don't forget, coming up bottom of the hour, we'll have Alabama Congressman Gary Palmer calling in to talk about the first few days and where he expects things to go up in D.C. with the Biden administration, I mean, with the Trump administration. Lord, I'm going to have to get rid of it. I'm still stuck in saying that. I've been saying it on the air now for almost 4 years. Whew, Lord Jesus. Hey, I got a call on the line. Steve from Tennessee. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm losing my voice, man, but it's better than losing your mind. listen, I wanted to ask you a question. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And I sat down the other night and tried to write down all the different subsets of the people that hate Trump. I'm up to 12 for all the various reasons, you know, and I was just going to kind of challenge you. I know you're smarter about this and you're more engaged with it than I'll ever be.
I don't know about that.
And I just wondered if you would kind of look at that yourself and start thinking about it. It pays to know your enemy. And I have found that when I'm trying to talk to some of these people, it helps a lot to know what subset they fit in. Some of them overlap, you know, okay, Venn diagram or whatever, but there are specific groups that hate him, and when you get down to the brass knuckles of why, it's kind of an interesting look at all these dogs and cats. Most of them aren't people you'd want to have anything to do with. Just saying.
That's Steve, that's awesome. And I'll tell you what, and it, to the extent you can or feel like it, text your rough list in. I'd love to see it, and then maybe I'll start comparing notes on it.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right,
I'll do that when I can.
Appreciate you, buddy. See you.
Thank you.
Get well.
Bye.
He always has great calls. Whenever Steve calls in, I can always tell it's going to be something that's going to be like content heavy. Let me jump into some other. So I'm in this first section, this first dipper, right? And I'm calling it, It Begins. And it does. It begins. We are in it right now, y'all. We are in it. The beginning of the golden age is what Trump called it. Now, some things have already happened in the last couple of days. Like, some of them are just a hoot. And you look at it and go, why do we even have to do this? But we do. Like I told you a minute ago, that one of the things that Trump said he was doing, and he did it by executive order, was he ordered the federal government to recognize and honor that men are men and women are women. Think about that. Recognize and honor that men are men and women are women. Now, what he just literally did was he's basically forcing anybody who receives federal funds or has a federal department can no longer use pronouns and juxtapose the language to fit their agenda. You're not going to see any more of the transgender rights issues. You're not going to see any more of the transgender SOGI kind of gatherings where you have to be told to be inclusive with your transgender coworker. It doesn't mean you get to beat up on people, not at all. It just means you're not required to have to condone. Remember, there's a vast difference between condemning and being told to condone, all right? I don't have to condemn someone. At the same time, I don't have to condone anything they do. And by the way, God's job is to condemn. I can say I don't like it. I can say it's, but I'm not sitting around casting hate. But don't try and tell me I have to condone it and participate in the madness. I'm not here at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. Y'all go drink your tea if you want to, but don't tell me I have to be involved in it. And by God, don't tell me my taxpayer dollars have to be used for it. So that's where we are. That just happened. What this also does, though, is it effectively is going to end the practice of putting men in women's prisons. Can I have some applause? You better get that applause button ready, dude. I'm just saying, it's going to be... We're going to end taxpayer-funded transition from male prisoners and all that kind of crap. We're going to make sure that passports actually say the biological reality, and you don't get to change your gender on your passport. Think about what a criminal can do. They can go to the far side of the world and then be something different, and then come back saying they're something different than they were when they got it. It just makes no. Why would we do this to ourselves? What I had forgotten in all this, though. You know, and I've said on the show multiple times, leadership sets a tone in which things, it creates an environment. Leadership is not always about being the one who does it. Sometimes it's about creating the environment and enabling those to do it. Leadership is about being able to encourage and exhort and empower people to do things they might not have otherwise done. And you can be both a positive leader and a negative leader. Biden, I'd forgotten this. What Trump just did was he basically repealed a Biden executive order that forced transgenderism on the nation. I'd forgotten about that. I'd forgotten that this was not just a sort of a looking aside and not standing in the way of kind of moment by Biden. It wasn't. This was a repeal of Biden's executive order. Biden had been forcing transgenderism on the states. Here's one more piece that kind of segues off of that. Marco Rubio, the very first of the Trump administration appointees to be confirmed before the Senate. That was a layup. I mean, granted, he's good for the job. I think Rubio will make a great Secretary of State. Rubio is also, you know, most recently a peer of the senators who are confirming, so he had the easiest walk in the door.
I'm still shocked it was unanimous, though. I'm pleased it was, but I'm still, I think that's a testament to him.
It's a testament to him. It's also something that indicates that we can get that done unanimously if they'll stop being jackasses.
Mm-hmm.
Like you and I were talking before the show. Apparently Adam Schiff has in some way placing a procedural block on the idea of Pam Bondi being confirmed?
A 7-day hold.
And I'm sure part of that is because there are procedural hurdles you have to go through unless they are waived by the body, right? Like it can be announced and then they're allowed a certain amount of time to review and process and do due diligence. And that, I'm pretty sure that's what this is. But you're also allowed to waive that by unanimous consent. And by withholding his unanimous consent, he's effectively putting a block on it for 7 days. There's no reason for it. Mm-hmm. Pam Bondi's going to get confirmed.
It's just being a nuisance.
It's being an ass. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, back to my point. I digress. Marco Rubio just got confirmed as Secretary of State. One of the first things he did was issue an order that nothing but the American flag and the POW/MIA flag will be flown at U.S. embassies worldwide. There will be no more State Department hanging and flying of the rainbow LGBTQ flag or the Black Lives Matter flag, all of which have happened. Like in April of 21, Secretary of State Antony Blinken actually authorized U.S. embassies to fly the rainbow pride flag in, you know, countries around the world, which, by the way, can cause some massive offense. He also authorized the Black Lives Matter flag to be flown at embassies, which was done in February of 22. I mean, just you look at it and go, come on, people. But then how about this one? All right, so how many of y'all are at work today, right? I'm sitting in studio. JP's in studio. We got things to do. We show up. We got our job done. Is there a time we have to call in sick once in a while? Of course there is. Do you do it for 3 years in a row? No. Where are all these federal employees? We have whole buildings that are empty, and we're paying rent on them. Why is that? Because the Biden administration does not lead. The Biden administration coddled people. The Biden administration is all about equity, diversity, inclusion, and abuse of your tax dollar. So Trump made a promise, and he signed an executive order shutting down the idea of employees being allowed to work remotely and ordering federal employees back to in-person full-time work. Ba-bam! Will there be the occasional Zoom meeting? Certainly. Will people still be on Teams once in a while doing their group calls? Of course they will. But not because they're all sitting at home in their stretchy pants, drinking coffee with Bedhead while they do their work. They're going to be looking like professionals, putting on real clothes, and walking out their door on time to get to the office, because that's what grown-up people do. Sorry for your luck. That's just life. I got more on this stuff, but I'll tell you what, let me make a call right now before I run out of time. Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Well, doing quite well. You know, Adam Schiff, you know, kind of a weasel-looking kind of guy. You know the guy in high school that always in the back of the room?
Yeah.
You know, not doing homework or paperwork, if you know what I'm saying. And I think this cross-examination of Pam Bondi is as close as he's going to get to a hot-looking girl like that. And I think he just wants to talk to her again, that sleazeball. All right? Bottom line is this. Look it. Why don't we all grow up, which they're not – a lot of them are not going to grow up, and they've been corrupting, spending like drunken sailors, and I know I can't because I got bills to pay, and I'm out of budget. And that's what we need, and we have the right man in there that's going to put things back in place, get us in budget, lower this deficit. And I told you my plan was if you're drilling, baby, drill, like he says, 10% off the top goes right to the debt, the PASCO, stuff like that. Just put it right toward the debt. But the bottom line is this, Bill. Now we're going to have – put it back to common sense, just like your program. And we're not doing it to be hateful, although they like to be hateful. They can do that really well. I want everybody to do well, and I've always said that, and that's what this president's going to do. It bring prosperity, security, and a better way of life for every American.
Amen to all of it. Amen. Preach it.
All right.
See you, Wolverine. He's right. He's so right. I'm saying. All right, listen, we're taking a break. We'll come right back. We'll finish up some more of this. And then coming up, bottom of the hour, Congressman Gary Palmer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So All right, I got plenty of stuff, and coming up here in a few minutes, we'll be taking a call in from Congressman Gary Palmer to get his thoughts on what's going on right now in the House and you know, maybe even looking across the rotunda at the Senate. But let me just keep on telling you about a few things that have already happened, because the Trump effect is legit. It's real. Things are happening. And what I love is this did not start off with, okay, now we're going to study this for a bit and then we'll find our way to implement. He just said, get it done. One of the things that happened was DEI offices everywhere closed today at noon. Noon. DEI nonsense shut down across the federal government today, putting out all the workers on paid leave. Paid leave? Thank you. Good call on that one. So, by close of business on Tuesday, all federal workers were to be closed. Shutting down today, it began at noon. And what they had to do was put all the workers out on paid leave. They'll figure out what's going to happen. Townhall.com reports it right now and says the far-left social experiment, which contributes nothing to society except wasting taxpayer money, is over. It says we are wiping away the stains of Joe Biden's sanity has returned. I've got a copy of the Office of Personnel and Management's memorandum that was sent out to the various department heads saying, you will close down these offices immediately. I love it. I can't tell you how much I love it. I love that I love it. I love that I love it more. I want to love it more. I like it so much. Okay. I got some other stuff. I don't know how much we're going to get it. I got so many text messages I can't even keep up right now, too. You guys are loving this, too, I can tell. But here's one that got me. I know you're a big fan of Cash Patel. I am, too, but I know you've mentioned it several times.
Mm-hmm. He's a stud.
Yeah. And by the way, have they even announced when he's going to wind up having his confirmation hearing yet?
I don't think they've had I think him and Gabbard and RFK stuff, there's this, he's to be scheduled. No, yeah.
To be scheduled.
Yeah.
Let's get her done, fellas.
I know.
So, Cash Patel not being in yet, the White House has announced a guy named Brian Driscoll, who is apparently a stud in himself. He used to command the hostage rescue team, and, I mean, he's legit. It seems there's no reason to believe that he's anything but the guy you would want to be up there as the acting director for the time being. Brian Driscoll being appointed as the acting director, President Trump also signed a memorandum called Restoring Accountability for Career Senior Executives. Members of the FBI are to take note now, too. What this basically means is federal employees, regardless of their level, can be fired. He basically asserted, if you're screwing up, I'm going to fire you. How many times on the show we talked about a lack of accountability with the Biden administration? You could screw up. It's the only place in the world where you could fail up is U.S. government. Trump just announced, I don't care if you're an SES-level employee. I don't care. If you're screwing up, guess what? If you're not on board with the plan, guess what? You can be fired. And it already started.
And Hex has said it too in his speech about, you know, generals who lose a war get promoted. And so, I mean, it's in all aspects of the government, of people failing upwards.
Yeah. I just reached into my stack and had to grab one that was at the bottom. It's also from townhall.com. Speaking of which, FEMA director, she just left. She's gone. FEMA director Deanne Criswell departed the agency on Monday as Trump's new administration began. Yes. I mean, she basically knew. She knew the hand irons on the wall. She just went ahead and said, I'm not going to wait until they make me burn me an effigy. I'm going to go ahead and call it done. So the FEMA director is gone. We're watching, some of these are what I would call self-deporting, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're heading out the door knowing full well that they have so screwed up that there's no way in the world they would keep their jobs. And by the way, granted, there are careerists in government, and I get that. That's fine. I have no fault with anybody being in government employee. But what I do have a fault with is when the bureaucrats forget where they came from and they begin to believe that no one understands it except for them, and they will do what they want to do regardless of what the plan is. That's when you have a bureaucracy. That's when you have a deep state. And that's when you have trouble. And those people are now on notice. Now, do I have time for this? How much time have I got?
Got about a minute.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, I'm going to take these two stories about the Coast Guard and put them over here with my dipper number two on military stuff, even though they are quasi-military. They are military, but they are under the Department of Homeland Security. But what am I going to do about, how do I handle, well, I'll do this with, okay, I'll do that one in the military.
We can also mention Trump's executive order that he just signed about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
Here,
he told me during the break.
He's effectively shut down all migrant entries across all ports of entry at the southern border. That was 2:52, so that's about 20 minutes ago.
All migration at the borders.
All migration at the border is now shut down. Obviously, it's not going to be permanent, but just to get things under control. So,
did you see that the CBP app,
yep,
the Customs and Border Patrol app, within 10 minutes of Trump taking the oath of office, the app came down.
Yep. It's and migrants were freaking out at the border. There's a picture of everybody holding up their phones to the camera, and it had like an app no longer found thing on the screen. It's awesome. And
Tom Homan, by the way, is already busy.
Yes. Yeah.
Tom Homan is already busy. President-elect Trump's border czar, according to TheHill.com, said the incoming administration has taken off the handcuffs from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. ICE, after the inauguration next week, allowing them to do their jobs. That's the way it should be. But the Wall Street Journal and The Hill are both reporting that they have copies of the plans and that there are major raids starting in Chicago. Why? Because the mayor of Chicago says he won't help. So they're like, okay, we're coming to your town first then. I'm loving it. Big raids coming, he says, all across the country, Chicago being just one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, Congressman Gary Palmer. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about Huntsville to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, listen, we're going to the phones right now. As promised, I'm glad to bring back on the show someone who is a friend of the show who's been on many times. Got to see him a little bit while we were up in D.C. the last few days for the events of the inauguration. Congressman Gary Palmer, representing the state of Alabama as part of our federal delegation. And he's actually, I think, stepped off the floor from votes right now to take a call in with the show. Congressman Palmer, how you doing, sir?
Good, Phil. It's been a little busy.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm glad. I think it's been a good kind of busy is what it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just by the reaction from my Democratic colleagues, we're doing what we're supposed to do. They're fit to be tied.
Well, and good.
Some of them need to be tied.
Yeah. Well, if Democrat heads are exploding, then we're all happier. Let me tell you what. You got any updates? What are y'all working on right now before I even go into the other topics at hand?
Well, we're about to vote on passage of the Lincoln-Riley Act.
Yeah.
And I presided over the final part of the debate today in the chair. And what I've seen, we had a hearing today in Energy and Commerce, and what I'm seeing and hearing from some of my colleagues, it's very apparent that the Democrats learned absolutely nothing from this election.
Yeah.
They want to talk about January 6th. They want to talk about President Trump pardoning 1,500 people who, in my opinion, were inappropriately and put in jail or charged with crimes. It's all about that. They want to talk about anything but what the American people care about, and they talk about it's almost laughable. They talk about how we need to be focused on bringing down the cost of living, and I want to remind them that they increased federal spending in just 2 years by $10 trillion and caused inflation to go through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have thought of that then.
Well, it's amazing, and you're right. I don't think they can read the room. I don't think they have any idea. Or if they do, they're just so belligerently recalcitrant on this whole thing that they're going to hang on because that's the only thing they've got. It's kind of like trying to argue that Elon Musk was doing a Nazi salute and try to make it stick. It's just not sticking anymore.
Well, in their closing argument on the Lincoln-Riley bill, it was all about the FBI. And I'm not kidding. It was all about the FBI spent millions and millions of dollars arresting people who were part of the riot at the Capitol, you know, the insurrectionists. And I'm thinking the FBI should have been sending that money on arresting people who came here illegally with criminal records.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, they went after people who were protesting at the Capitol. They went after families who showed up at a PTA meeting or at a school board meeting. they had agents in Catholic churches and other churches that were pro-life. They spent millions of dollars on that, Phil, during the Biden administration, rather than making our communities safe and secure from crimes that are being committed every stinking day by people who are here illegally.
Well, I love the fact that one of the first bills that Trump may have from the new Congress to sign is the Laken Riley Act. And I guess what are y'all voting for passage of the amended bill as it came back from the Senate? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, this will be the first bill that's laid on his desk.
That's great. That's amazing.
This is final passage here in just a few minutes.
Well, I know that Alabama's Senator Britt has been the Senate lead sponsor, and our House delegation, you included, have been super supportive of this thing and getting it through the lines. So I think it's a great testament to Alabama that we're seeing this be one of the first bills to go forward. But the nation needs it. And I love the fact that one of the first pieces of legislation is a promise kept about making reforms on immigration and criminal illegal aliens.
Yeah. Katie, Senator Britt's actually coming over to the chamber, and I'm going to escort her onto the chamber, into the House chamber, for this final vote.
Well, outstanding.
She texted me a little while ago that she wanted to come on over. So it really is a major bill. A lot of people think, well, it's about this one crime in Georgia, but no.
No, it's not.
There's thousands and thousands of victims of crimes committed by people here illegally. And I thought Tom McClintock, Republican from California, who was leading the bill on the floor for us, did a marvelous job of in his closing argument, and a couple other guys just started reading the names of victims, and there are many more. I mean, you remember all the way back 2014, 2015, Kate Steinle was killed in San Francisco.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that helped Trump get elected.
I agree.
Unfortunately, but killed by someone who had stolen a gun out of a forest ranger's vehicle, a rental vehicle, and discharged it and killed her.
Yeah.
And there are others. I mean, it's unbelievable what we've allowed to happen in our country.
Well, it is unbelievable. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes tragedy to become a rallying cry so that we can get things done. And I'm not saying I'm looking for tragedy. What I'm saying, though, is at the very least, we can't bring back Laken Riley, but we can honor her memory. It's just like, you know, it's like Remember the Alamo. The members of the force at the Alamo were wiped out. But that became the rallying cry that you know, brought in General Sam Houston and saved the Texas Republic. So I'm just saying, let's make a rallying cry out of it and get something done. And I appreciate the fact that y'all are. But let me ask you this: besides the Laken Riley Act, what's the mood? What's the tenor like? I mean, I know that most of the House, maybe you were there, I don't know, were on Hannity last night. Were you there for that?
No, I had a hearing today, and I'm not someone that feels like I've got to be in front of the camera or behind the camera or microphone, whatever, all the time. And I wanted to prepare for this very first hearing, and it was about chemicals, and I knew where the Democrats would be coming on this. And we had the hearing today, and it was their usual hypocrisy. And, you know, again, all about how the Republicans are doing the will of big corporations, and it has obviously, again, they're clueless about where the American people are on things. One of the things that I brought up, speaking of hypocrisy, is that when they had the majority, they passed a bill to basically eliminate a chemical known as PFAS. It's a phosphate four chloride, and it has medical it's applicable in medical procedures. That I pointed out today that it is a major part of the manufacture of solar panels that hardens the outside, which they're fine with that, even though a solar panel can't be recycled. And so we're burying God knows how many tons of solar panels with PFAS. But It's just amazing. I sit and listen to them, and I think, what planet are you on?
Yeah, well, they're not on the same planet we're on, that's for sure. And like I said earlier, they're not reading the room. Hey, let me go back to, I started to ask a question, then I diverted myself. But what is the mood right now among the members of the House, the Republican House? I mean, what is there a sense that things are different, or are y'all operating as like business as usual with a little more oomph? I mean, what are you seeing? What's it feel like right now by comparison to last week?
Well, I think we're much more focused. We spent hours and hours working on the reconciliation package.
Yeah.
And we had the key committee chairman all sit and take questions from us this afternoon. And we're going to get, as Trump says, one big, beautiful bill passed. Now, the question is, what all can we get in it? And I'm working on some things. One is the RAINS Act that, if we can get that into the bill, it's a game changer, Phil, because it will eliminate the ability of agencies to make law through rulemaking or through regulations,
and yes.
and will require Congress to actually do its job. So we're on a deadline, and everybody knows it. So I think that's got us much more focused. There's still people that have differences of opinion on what they that want two bills instead of one. And I think we need to get as much in this bill as we can, get it done, get the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act extended and maybe made permanent. And I think what President Trump did, I had recommended to his campaign team last year, and then I spoke to Stephen Miller about 3 weeks ago about this, that on the energy side and critical minerals and rare earth side of things, we needed to declare those essential to our national security and utilize the Defense Production Act. And I said, that way you can permit immediately, because we were all concerned about what we needed to do on energy, being able to get things permitted.
Right.
And Miller's response was, we hadn't thought of that. Well, that's what the president did with his executive orders 2 days ago. He declared it a national security emergency on energy. So I think it's not only going to generate billions of dollars in revenue, it's going to be huge help to our allies in Europe. They won't have to buy any more gas from Russia or Iran.
Yeah, I think that I agree with you. I think that was one of the things that had to happen. It's part of the ability to move things forward quickly. And I think there's with the exception of the Democrats, which are not going to be happy. If we told them the sky was blue, they still wouldn't be happy. But the reality is we're looking at things that the first 100 days, in my opinion, are critical. The first 2 years are the most critical of the four. And so we want to see as much done as quickly as possible so that we can settle into getting some of the longer term issues dealt with. And I think y'all are on the right track. I love the idea of one reconciliation bill, getting it merged, getting the agenda done all at one time.
Well, I think we got some members that think, we do one reconciliation bill, we're one and done. And I stood up in front of the conference a while back and said, look, reconciliation is not the end, it's the beginning.
Yes, it is.
And we've got another chance to do reconciliation later on. But there's a lot of things that you can't do through reconciliation that you're going to have to bring to the floor. You're going to have to make your points. And as Margaret Thatcher famously said, you got to win the debate before you win the vote. And that's what we need to do. But I think that if we do our job, if we, and not just in the first 100 days, but over the next 18 months, I think we can not only hold our majority in the House, I think we can add to it. Because if the Democrats persist in the arguments that they're making now, it's no different than what cost them the White House, the Senate, and a chance at a majority in the House. I think the tide has turned, and people are just tired of being talked down to, tired of being forced to accept this DEI stuff. They went way too far.
Yep.
And I think we got a chance to I've told my guys, we've got a chance to go down in history as one of the greatest Congresses ever. But you don't achieve greatness doing easy things.
No.
You got to do some hard things.
You absolutely do. And I tell you what, Congressman, I appreciate it. I know what you stand for. I've been around you a bit, and I want to thank you in advance. I know that you've got more to do. I'm out of time right now, and I know you got to get back to what you've been up to. But the bottom line is this. Let's stay in touch. I want to have you on more often. Both our Alabama and Tennessee audiences want to hear this stuff, so we'll keep going, all right?
All right. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, sir. Take care now. That's Congressman Gary Palmer from Alabama, and, yeah, he's been in the thick of it. And just, it's kind of cool, this show, take it to a break, JP, but this show just got him literally out of the chair where he was presiding over the House, the debate, to get the Lake and Riley Act moved through to become the first bill sponsored by Alabama Senator Katie Britt to Trump's desk. Loving that, loving the connection, and love the fact that this show has the connections to bring it to you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. I got to get some text messages. We're going to come up in a few minutes with the Grand Council. I ran long with the congressman, so we'll have a very short segment here. And then after the 4 o'clock break, Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. But let me get a few of these texts because, I mean, y'all are stacking them up, and I can't even keep up with you. Mike from Florence says, not only did Trump change it to the Gulf of America, he also shipped in snow to make people remember when it happened.
And what I read from that is he ended global warming day one. We got snow on Orange Beach. Like, I think that's what that
JP.
Means.
JP.
Yeah.
That's, okay, that's pretty funny. Rita from Scottsboro says, I think the last 4 years Trump went through, there is no greater meaning for the biblical saying, no weapon drawn against you shall prosper. No doubt. Thank you, Rita. And I know what you believe. So, yes, thank you very much. JT Lacey Springs says, Gulf of America. Yes. And the snow is a symbol of the cleansing. What timing? Perfect. Gary from Decatur says, Phil, just explain to me how one interpretation of the 14th Amendment is a legal precedent and another is just an opinion. I think the main issue is if the person was, quote, in control of by the U.S. government, illegals obviously were not in control of the government by virtue of breaking the law to enter the country. So the reality is that's part of the argument, Gary. You make a great point. It's going to be a legal interpretation. What's happened right now is in the absence of Supreme Court ruling to the contrary, there has been an opportunity for regulatory or bureaucratic interpretation over the years. And this level of challenge. Now, I think there have been cases in which birthright citizenship was raised, but not to the level that we're talking about. So, yeah. Jim from Athens says, would you want your cardiologist to be DEI or the best? Can you imagine? Yeah, I agree. Bruce from Springville says, I mean, I don't want my Uber driver to be DEI. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want a merit. By the way, I'm pretty sure I had one, and she was sweet, but she did not know her way around town, and she was lost as a coot.
Well, I love how you said she was asking you what.
Asking me for directions.
I don't live here.
I had to look at her and say, "Ma'am, I don't know. I'm not from here. I'm looking at." I mean, always. By the way, when you ride an Uber, leave your own app open so you can watch the roads. I said, "My app says you can turn left, but I see the road is closed." Well, then you can't turn left. Anyway, Bruce from Springville says, did you see the faces on Biden and Harris during Trump's inaugural speech? Yes. Yes, I did. That was one of my favorite pieces. He said they look like two slapped around stepchildren. Yes. Yes, they did. Luann from Huntsville says, birthing people worry if their clump of cells will be born and become U.S. citizens or not. Wow, Luann. Luann, bringing it. Luann.
We left that terminology in Biden's administration.
Yes, by executive order. We did away with it. Greg from Athens says, I know you hate these. What? You sent me a meme?
He wrote in his interpretation of the 14th Amendment.
You wrote your interpretation on the 14th Amendment on a sticky note and then sent me a picture of it? What the heck, man? Okay. Greg, thank you. Flip from Priceville says, Phil, did you see the clip of the Border Patrol with riot shields lined across the point of entry? Yes, I did.
Not even 10 minutes after the inauguration was over.
Just, it's a whole new day, y'all. All right, you got a lot more text messages, but before we do anything, we got to take a break. Come right back, and we'll have the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.